Well, we're at the middle of the week, and that means it's time for some cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany. Dr. Earlywine, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
You had sent me a great paper here that I thought we ought to talk about. You know, a lot of the problems that people will have with marijuana have to do with a lot of the notions of how it affects teenagers and how the dreaded weed is going to cause amotivational syndromes and schizophrenia. And we've talked about those things in the past. I thought this latest paper was interesting, though, in how it looks at the correlation, or I guess I should say lack of, between marijuana use and high school dropout. Explain what that paper was telling us.
Sure thing. I think nobody'd be too surprised to learn that, some heavy using teens do drop out of high school. But once you take into account a bunch of other variables that make a whole lot of more sense than marijuana, you find out that the link between marijuana and high school dropout really isn't significant anymore. What I like particularly about this paper is one of the authors is somebody who I actually debated against at USC 3 years ago about the legalization issue, and she is clearly not somebody who, you know, wants to see teen use increase and isn't somebody who's going to come out with a paper that says marijuana doesn't cause high school dropout unless it really looks like it. Doesn't. And so, you know, this is not like Ed Rosenthal and I wrote this paper or anything like that. These are people who are generally on the side of prohibition. And yet when they take a close look at their data, and this is literally thousands of students who filled out questionnaires about their marijuana use throughout junior high and then into high school, we find that, yes, at first glance it looks like the marijuana users are more likely to drop out, but once you take into account some other things, particularly relationships with peers, relationships with parents, and then oddly enough cigarette smoking, suddenly that relationship disappears. Now, usually when you talk to folks about this, they say something like, oh, marijuana is going to impair your intellectual performance, and that's what makes you do badly in school, and then you end up having to drop out. But in fact, a couple of papers that are cited here, including one by my friend Michael Newcomb at UCLA, shows that, in fact, these are often the students who were doing poorly in school before they used marijuana, often as early as fourth grade. These were the students who weren't connected to school or were doing poorly long before marijuana came into the picture. And what's curious as well is just cigarette smoking, it's not something that people usually look at in these kinds of studies. And so I don't think that, you know, cigarettes suddenly impair your brain and make you bad at school. I think they're just a correlate of a whole bunch of things about attitudes and health and things along those lines that tend to lead to, among other things, dropping out of high school.
I think you got a really good point there too, talking about the authors of this study not exactly being supportive of our side here. It reminds me a bit of Donald Tashkin's work at UCLA, where he was trying to find, you know, the proof that marijuana caused lung cancer, and actually found quite the opposite.
And in fact, for 30 years he searched.
Yeah.
He didn't just try it once. The guy really, really dug around. And Rosalie Pakula, who's one of the authors on here, who I really like her, but we just, you know, see things a little bit differently, is again somebody who would say we've got to do what we can to keep marijuana out of the hands of teens. And in fact, that's what normal's really all about, is let's keep marijuana out of the hands of folks who shouldn't be using it by taxing and regulating it rather than leaving that to the underground market.
That's right. Take control over drugs like we take control over liquor and have it in liquor stores and such, and kids have a real hard time getting a hold of Jack Daniels. They don't have the ID. Now, as far as this report and the authors of this report, it seems to me a lot that, you know, this seems to be a recurring theme when you and I talk about these things, of how there's this confusion between correlation and causation, in that, you know, we saw it with a couple other studies where, you know, we find that it's the kids that may have already been predisposed to schizophrenia that are starting the marijuana, maybe to self-medicate. In this situation, you're talking about kids that may have been doing bad in school, who maybe they're depressed about that. Maybe they're disconnected from school somehow, and they're using the marijuana to cope. Do you see that as a common pattern in your research?
It's a big deal when you're studying humans, because a lot of times you can't do what you really need to do, and that's the classic experiment. I can't randomly assign some people to smoke marijuana for years and years and other people to not do it. The ethics behind that are just a little bit shaky. But of course, that's the way you really find out if one thing is the cause of another. So we end up doing these sort of correlational things and hoping for the best, or seeing what's really consistent. But anytime you get some folks who do one behavior on their own, invariably they differ from other folks on a whole host of other measures. And in this case, what we're seeing is some unobservable things, probably economic things, probably social things, and maybe even certain values, things that you think are important, may co-vary with the decision to use cannabis early. And I'm concerned that actually some of these things are things that we could intervene with, and yet we're more focused on cannabis with these students. So, in fact, there's a subset of students in this sample who clearly smoked cannabis and didn't drop out of high school, but obviously had some relationships with their parents or teachers or peers that buffered them against any negative consequences. God knows, Russ, I mean, you and I have been to enough conferences where people who started smoking cannabis in high school are now big successes. It's clearly not the cannabis itself, and if we focus on this, we miss the opportunity to improve relationships among students, improve relationships between students and their parents, get students connected to behaviors that are really fun for them, including studying, sports, any kind of religious observance, any of the things that a multifaceted life includes. And it's funny how once we build those up, the impact of cannabis we're going to see is really minimal.
Right. I often think sometimes the way that our whole culture is built to look at the drugs issue is more like, you know, we're trying to cure the symptoms rather than the disease. You know, that what leads these kids to get involved with marijuana, it's by the time they've gotten to the marijuana, the disease has already taken hold. The poverty, the disaffectation, the bad parental situation, whatever it might be. And I think you make a great point there that in by focusing on the marijuana itself as the bad cause, we blind ourselves to all the other possible causes out there.
It's funny because I do feel like that focus may be an easy one to make because it seems like this is an easier place to intervene. But actually, I think a lot of students would be much more interested in, let's talk about how to make good friends, than let's keep off the drugs, you know. Let's talk about how to talk to your parents and get them to have a nice relationship with you instead of let's talk about staying away from the evil weed.
Yeah, and we see so many of our policies, too, especially when we're talking about our school-age children here, that, you know, it's almost as if someone was trying to design a way to get kids to be on drugs. I'm thinking particularly like the drug testing regimes that say, you know, if you want to be in extracurricular activities, you have to take this drug test, when we've seen that being in extracurricular activities is a big way to keep kids off of the drugs.
Well, and the idea that you'd eliminate that buffer for the folks who need it the most is just extremely misguided. These data were gathered in South Dakota, so it's not a state that actually does a lot of that. And some of this is a more rural area, and that, in fact, can be a real big issue for, you know, rural students where there isn't a lot of the stereotypical fun things to do. And I feel like that time would be best spent, you know, getting these folks involved in neat activities, be it the arts, the sciences, sports, anything along those lines, instead of just berating them about using recreational drugs.
All right. Well, that's an interesting study. Thank you, Dr. Earlywine, for bringing that to our attention. And we just let everyone know that that according to this this study, it doesn't appear as though heavy cannabis use among youth is what leads to them dropping out. It may be that the factors that lead to them dropping out is also a factor that leads to the cannabis use. Is that a fair way to say it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Earlywine, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.